know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Momunsi. Alongside me, as always, the one and only Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, fresh from the gym. How you doing, brother?
Yeah. You know, just trying to, you know, move it around a little bit, you know. We want the players to be at their best. We got to be at our best, Mo. You know what it is.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get like you. You know, we're recording this, for all transparency, before the Celtics take on the Nuggets. So we can't talk about that game. But what we can talk about is the Boston Celtics. I don't know if you saw the game against the Cavaliers the other day, especially the fourth quarter, where Dean Wade outscored the entire team. And ironically, we recorded an episode just before the Cavs game about how good the Celtics are, and then they go out and do that. BJ, I've got a question for you. The Boston Celtics have a great offense this season, from moving the basketball, finding their open shooters. It's highly, highly efficient. They're number one in offense in net rating in the NBA. However, when it comes down to clutch time, I saw a clip of JJ Redick on Twitter. He says that the Celtics run the fourth most isolations per 100 possessions in clutch time, and that gives them the 27th most points per possession. So very inefficient in close games down the stretch when they're isolating. The question I wanted you to break down for our audience here is why, at the end of games, teams go for those isolation baskets rather than continuing what's worked for them throughout the course of the first, you know, 46 minutes of the game.
Well, you know, we don't have enough time to really dive into that question of why, but I'll try to sum it up very quickly. You know, Mo, we're playing now in a system that every team in the league has basically adapted, right? We're playing a five-out offense, okay? Mm-hmm. We're the three-point shooting, right? We call it pace and space. And there's a premium now on shooting, especially shooting behind the three-point line, okay? Now, with that, Mo, you need space. You need space to penetrate. Why? Because you want to suck in the defense so you can pitch out to your guys. You want to get to the basket. And then once you get to the basket, right, you want to get fouled. Because if in today's game, if you miss that opportunity to get a two, that's a two you missed, and then the three they make. So that's a five-point swing. Mm-hmm. So right now, why? So your question is, why are they going to isolation basketball? Well, Mo, by all accounts, you haven't been running any offense for the entire game, other than shooting threes. I don't have the stats in front of me, but they shoot a fair amount of threes. I got to believe that they're in the top 10 as far as shooting.
Yeah, but they run offense to get those threes, to manufacture them.
The offense that they're running is to drive and kick.
Yes.
that's their offense, right? You know, pick and pop. They're looking, they're searching for the mismatch. You know, they're Al Horford and these guys are getting their three-point opportunities in the corners or on the wings or in the slots, as they call them today. So when all of a sudden you go to the final phase of the game, the finishing part of the game, what offensive scheme or what have they exploited that they know they can come back to in the fourth quarter in what we call need plays? If you watch an old game, Noah, like I know you used to, I want you to watch this now. It's a phenomenon. I watch this every game I go to. When you were playing against a team in the 80s, 90s before, the assistant coaches would track the plays that worked and the plays that didn't work. Mm-hmm. So that when you got to the finishing stage of the game, you knew which plays had the greatest chance to work that night against that team, against that matchup. When you go to a game today, Mo, I want you to watch. The assistants aren't tracking the plays. So, of course, they're not going to be able to finish the game because they don't know what plays are working because no one's trying to exploit the matchup or create a mismatch for you to go to at the end of the game.
Well, they do try and create the mismatch. Oftentimes with the Celtics, they'll have someone screen, whoever's being guarded by the weakest defender, screen for Tatum, get the switch, and he goes and isolates.
That's very creative.
No, but my question is, why are they going to the isolation rather than trying to drive and kick like they have been for the previous 46 minutes?
Okay, so great question. The reason being is because as the game progresses, right? First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, the game gets turned up. There's only one place in an NBA game or any game that you play that the game can actually turn up. That's on the defensive end. So defensively, the game turns up. Believe it or not, even if you are in the bottom half of the team, you can turn up your defensive pressure. You can start taking away just operating space. You can start saying, wow, I can't switch this. I got to fight through this screen because now it's crunch time or whatever your theme may be. But the defensive effort always increases as the game gets to the closing stages of the game. Now, the closing stage of the game for me starts with the 4 minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last 4 minutes of the game, there aren't many players who can actually execute, let alone a team that can actually execute in the last 4 minutes of a game. That's where all the great players live. So why are the Celtics having problems in the last 4 minutes of the game? Because the Celtics haven't been running any offense other than searching out mismatches and shooting threes for the entire game. So now they must rely on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum bailing them out like we see throughout the league. It's kind of like standard protocol.
And it's like Porzingis plays so well for them and he doesn't get any touches down the stretch.
Okay, because why? Because what coach is going to say you went away from Jason Tatum in the
mm-hmm.
What coach is going to do that? You always give the ball to your best player in the closing minutes of the game. So the Celtics, if we can be picky now, let's just sort of pick. They've had a phenomenal season, but now let's get real picky. They're not closing the games down.
Yeah,
they're not finishing. They're starting the game great. They're playing the game great. But they're not finishing the games when it's time to finish. So right now, if there's anything that we can pick on with the Celtics, is to say the Celtics are going to have to shore up the following, how to finish a game.
Yeah.
And how do you finish a game? You have to set up the opportunity to knock out your opponent, right? It's like being in a boxing match. You're hitting them with the jab, you're hitting them with the jab. Now they're looking for the jab. Boom, there's the right cross. So the Celtics, in my opinion, have to know what the job is to knock the team out. You can't get up by 20 and then let the team walk you down. Because mm-hmm. once you get a reputation as that, then the team is going to say, oh, they're up 20, but they'll let us back in the game. And we know how difficult that is to rebound from that type of loss in the playoffs. So this is of concern. I think this gives them something to play for. This gives them something to put on the bulletin board and say, we have to improve in this area. But more importantly, they have the talent. Jason Tatum can finish it.
Do you know what it is for me when I look at it? The first thing is we have Jason Tatum walking up the ball, right? So like against the Cavs, I can't remember how many seconds was on the clock, but they're going with not enough time left. Like as in he's getting into his move with not enough time left on the clock, which obviously you want to take the last shot and win the game. However, when you do that, there's no opportunity if the move you're trying to make is cut off. Like against the Cavs, his shot missed, the refs called a foul, the foul was overturned. But had they gone with more time on the clock, Porzingis was there for a putback to win the game. So number one for me is the time in their clock management down the stretch. I think is very bad. They're very obsessed with these 2-for-1s, which is great statistically. But I think getting the better opportunity is more productive than just simply going for the 2-for-1. And then I think the other thing for the Celtics is Jason Tatum's a great perimeter player. Right. And he's getting the ball at the top. Derek White comes up to screen. You get the mismatch. What about if you do the same exact thing, but instead Jason Tatum isn't handling the ball at the top. Derek White screening for him off the ball. And Jason Tatum catches it on a high post or a mid post shot where he has a height advantage over the defender. Then the other team will either have to live with that result or they'll try and double, leaving an open shooter for a game-winning shot. Like, how many times have we seen LeBron pass to a teammate for the game-winning shot? Like, being a great player, you don't have to take it every time. You have to be able to trust your team that they're going to knock down shots when it comes to crunch time as well. We even saw Michael Jordan pass up game-winning shots to find better looks for his teammates when they come in a double. But Jason Tatum simply being at the top
right now. I didn't see that, but yeah, I guess.
You didn't? I've seen a couple.
Listen, there are rules to being a great player. And there's rules that can't be violated. And one of them is never to pass the ball if you're a great player where your team is down two or more points. Right? If you're down three, you don't pass that ball. Okay.
Even if you're getting double teamed and there's a wide open teammate.
Okay. There are rules to this.
So when LeBron does it, are you saying he's a great player?
All I'm saying is everyone has the opportunity to make their own choice. I'm telling you, in my generation, and what I understand, there are rules to being and accepting the responsibility as the great player. There are rules. Mm-hmm. I didn't come to play with the role player shooting the last shot of the game. I can live with the best player shooting, but hey, man, you earned that right. You earned that right. If we're down one, I don't want the role player shooting it. I want you to shoot it. Because a shot is a part of a sound offense. That's a fact. All right. One of the principles of a sound offense is getting up a shot. That's called offensive rebounding.
Yeah, but a sound offense looks for the best shot available.
If that's your choice, that's your choice. I'm not taking away your choice. That's your choice. If somebody is double teaming my best player, that increases my opportunity to get the offensive rebound. That's two for one. By my calculation, I can live with that. He's double teaming.
Yeah, you can't get an offensive rebound when the clock expires, like we saw against the Cavaliers.
Again, a great player understands you do two things. You only shoot the ball with no seconds on the clock if the score is tied and you're on the road. If you are at home, you shoot the ball with 3 to 4 seconds so that I can get an offensive rebound. There's rules to this. This isn't random stuff. I don't have time for the random stuff. That's you guys. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly how this is going to play out. And I'm saying, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose my way. And my way is, okay, I'm going to get a ball to my best player. If you see the double team shooting, your job is to get up a shot. And you get up that shot with about 4 seconds to go, and you give us an opportunity to get the offensive rebound. And my job is to get you as the point guard the ball in what's called your operating area. And you got to get a shot in less than 3 dribbles. That's a fact. And all the other stuff, and if I lose that, so be it. However, I am not going to lose with a role player who's not used to shooting at the end of a game. That's not his job. He's a role player. But that's the rules in which I abide by. I'm not taking away anybody with how you guys play the game today. I am a bystander. I'm just watching, and I say, oh, okay, that's interesting. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Hey, do what you do. However, I know what works and what I'm capable of living with. I'm not living with some guy shooting a shot, controlling my destiny, and that's not his role. No, I'm gonna live with my best player, and if he misses it, so be it. I can live with that, but I'm certainly not doing it the other way. So.
Okay, just one thing that you just said just there, as the point guard, it's your job to get your best player the ball in their best operating area. So if you were the point guard on the Boston Celtics, where would you want to be getting Jason Tatum the ball?
Well, we don't have point guards today, Mo.
No, if you were on that team as a point guard.
Jason Tatum doesn't play the game from operating areas. Jason Tatum doesn't display footwork from the post. Jason Tatum doesn't play the game. Jason Tatum's majority of his game is not utilizing footwork in an operating area.
No, not that's the not majority his game. Of his game, no.
That's your game. Now, if you show it to me once or twice, oh, wow. Okay, clearly I can see you can do it. But the majority of his game is not catching the ball, utilizing footwork, and playing in less than 2 or 3 dribbles. That's not his game. That's not how the game is played today. Now, will he have to figure that out once the playoffs begin? Absolutely. Why? Because we know that the game is going to slow down. But in the regular season, hey, he's shooting threes, step backs, double step backs,
side steps,
in and out, eight dribbles, going between the legs, and all the things that they do. And we go, ooh, ow, wow, this guy's in his bag, and all the things that we say. Okay, now, somebody is going to take all that away, right? If they play against Kawhi Leonard or they play against whoever they play against, somebody is going to be good enough defensively to take that away. Somebody's going to do something. Jimmy Butler or somebody is going to do something. Now, he's still a very capable scorer because he can hit tough shots. But the one thing that we know he doesn't do consistently is play from his operating area. Like, if you said, what's his area on the floor, it would be what?
Perimeter.
Okay, he's a perimeter player. Okay, but we know
that's
what
I'm saying. That's where I want to see him get the ball at the elbow, at the mid post, and operate from there. Because I think he's capable of doing that. Because I've seen him be able to do that. I just want to see more.
We can think and do all those things, but that's not their style of play. And you can't argue with their style of play. They have the best record in the league. So they're doing something, right?
Yeah,
you can't just say, yeah, exactly. That's all we can say right now. Now, what we know is Jason Tatum can do it in the postseason. We know he can.
Yep.
Now, has he done it and finished the job as far as the NBA championship? You know, he hasn't done that yet, but he's been there. And we know he's capable. We know he's a clutch performer. We know he can play and show up in big moments in game seven.
50 points, game seven.
So we know that this guy is a prime time player. However, the way the game is played today, you must shoot a certain amount of threes. And Jason Tatum, being the best player on that team, has to shoot a certain amount of threes because he gets the most touches on the floor. That's just the way the game is played. Now, if you ask me, I probably would recommend something different. But that's not me. I'm not coaching. I'm just watching.
What would you recommend?
The game. You hear me say it, Mo. You already know the answer to it. You have to have a balance in everything you do.
I know, but just for any new listeners, you're joining the show.
There has to be a balance in everything you do. Why? You have to counter every single thing that's happening on the floor. If you're shooting threes, you got to attack the basket. If you're attacking the basket, you got to provide the space so that you can get to the basket. You must play what I have termed, or what we have termed, a blended brand of basketball. That's a fact. And right now, the best guy, the best team that's doing that right now is the Denver Nuggets. That's why they're winning. That's why they won the championship a year ago.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game tonight. We'll see the contrasting styles. Because last time it was a fantastic matchup as well. And Jokic absolutely dominated.
Well, he's going to dominate. There's nothing. He's going to dominate everybody. But there's nothing the Celtics can do. They don't have any bodies. Yeah. Who do they have?
No one. He destroyed Porzingis. Al Horford couldn't handle him.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do.
I don't believe Luke Kornet.
There's nothing you can do with him. This is what I'm saying. Even if the Celtics win tonight, Jokic can make adjustments. That's what the game is all about, making an adjustment. That's why the 7-game series is so fascinating, is because I'm not going to get caught up in the regular season. Who's winning? Oh, they lost to Cleveland. Okay. They lost to Cleveland in game one. Well, there's a lot that they could have taken away from the game. We got up 20 points. If you know you can get up 20 points on a team on the road, I feel really good about going home. Okay. And if they lost in the fashion they lost, I can't think of the kid who scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. If Dean Wade scores 20 points three more times, God bless the Cleveland Cavaliers. They supposed to win the series. Okay, that's how this works. So Dean Wade is a really good player. The Celtics have a very good team. They should feel very fortunate. Great job to come back and win. However, if that were to happen in the postseason, I'm really concerned about how we play that game. Because Cleveland was dominated, in my opinion, by the Boston Celtics.
For the three quarters of the game.
Yes. And that's an easy adjustment for the Celtics. That's an easy adjustment for them to make. So I'm not concerned about that. Throw that out. And the reason I'm going to throw that out, because the Golden State Warriors just showed you why you have a short memory in the NBA. They got crushed in Boston. Mm-hmm. And then they go home against the Milwaukee Bucks and beat them by how many points?
a lot. 30,
that's one of the largest turnarounds probably I've seen in a long time.
It's also interesting. So we were just talking on the other show the other day about Milwaukee being the best ranked defense in the league. And they did have kind of an easy schedule. And now you're seeing some tougher opponents, how that's going to fare out. But while we're here, before we wrap up, we talked a lot about this new style of basketball. A little flavor of the olden days, BJ. One of my favorite players, as you know, for many years now, even before he came to the NBA. You texted me one word the other night. You texted me Şengün, exclamation mark. Now, for you guys who want to know more about Şengün, I did a breakdown on YouTube. You can go and check that out. But BJ, talk to me. He dropped 45 and 16 on Wemby, and then he went to the Clippers and put up a 23-point, 19 rebound and 14 assist triple-double. And he's not just jacking up a lot of threes. He didn't even take a three in that triple-double. He's playing from the post. He's making some great passes. What are you seeing from this kid?
Well, you're seeing growth is what you're seeing. And you're seeing a player play with confidence. And, you know, Coach Udoka he's doing an incredible job with this young team because they're playing a brand of basketball that reminds me of, like, how the game probably should be played, right? If you want to say, what should the NBA probably look like? Well, they play a playoff brand of basketball during the regular season with a young group of guys.
Shout out to Ime Udoka.
They play physical. They're confrontational. They don't settle for just three. They don't just come down and jack threes. They attack the basket. They defend. And they play from the post.
Mm-hmm.
They don't settle. They don't let you off the hook and just come down and shoot up a three. No, they like get into your chest. Okay? And I respect that. Now, why do I respect that? It's because how do you know how your team is going to play if you don't have what's called dress rehearsals? If they get to the playoffs, they're not going to have to change their style of play. They're going to say like, oh man, we probably can be even more physical than what we are normally accustomed to during the regular season and the postseason, because they've been playing that way all along. They are a physical group. They play with a level of toughness. You know, if it's true what they say, then give the Houston Rockets credit. You are an extension of your coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So
and they've been getting chippy with it as well. The last couple of games, they've had little skirmishes going on.
Hey, I really like the way they play. They're a young team, Nick, and they didn't blame it on their youth or we're young, we're building. No, he forces them to compete. He allows them to play through contact. He encourages them to play through contact. And they get after it on both ends of the ball. Okay. And he doesn't allow his guys to just play lackadaisical, meaning they just shoot irresponsible shots to me. You know, you come down on a 2-on-1, just jack up a three. You're like, what? What is going on here? But then we all say, well, that's the way the game is played today. You know, that's just what it is. No, these guys attack that basket. Whitmore and Thompson, those young guys play with energy.
Mm-hmm.
They play hard. I saw them get in a little match with Devin Booker the other night. I see them get in.
Yep.
They bring it. I love that team. But I love the coach. I'm a huge fan of Coach Udoka. I'm a huge fan because of the way they play. So, you know, hey, shout out to the Houston Rockets and the way they play. But I recognize the big fella's playing some good basketball right now. And he did that 45 night. I just happened to have been watching that game. And he did that, arguably. That's why when we had Scott on here, we were talking about all defensive players. I think there's going to take some time before he, talking about Wembanyama, can actually dominate a game on the defensive end. He puts up incredible numbers because you can see right now the one thing that he can't do well right now is be able to absorb the contact and still do that on a consistent basis.
Agreed. Now, but how many players are there in the NBA that are going to do and operate how Şengün operates? There aren't many big men that are going to go out and score like that.
Okay, there aren't many. It's because we don't play that style. Exactly. However, the one who can do it, we know, is going to be here probably for the next 10 years, Jokic.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if the other end, you know, health-wise, if he can stay healthy, he's probably going to be here for some time. And that's Joel Embiid. So we know that the bigs are going to be around. And this kid is Şengün. Is that, how do you pronounce his name again? I want to make it pronounce
Şengün.
Şengün, yes. Okay, I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing it. It's going to be here. We know that Giannis is going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So there, we know there are bigs are going to play and be physical, and they're going to have a say-so in this matter. Because you're not just going to win shooting threes, okay? And people say, oh, what about the Golden State Warriors? Yeah, well, there's always anomalies to the business. But for the most part, there's going to be a big.
There's only one Steph Curry. Yes, absolutely. You guys can try copy, but there's only one Steph Curry.
Yes. So we know that the bigs are going to play a part in this. And Şengün right now is probably one of the guys you're saying, wow, if he's doing that versus a Wembanyama type talent. I mean, he didn't do that just against anybody. He did against one of the guys that we're saying will probably be defensive player of the year someday in this league. Probably sooner rather than
also
later.
Also, some of it is attributed to, like I'm watching it, a lot of his scoring came out of pick and roll where the Spurs are playing Wemby in a deep drop with Trey Jones trying to fight over the top of a screen, which is making life a lot harder for Wemby compared to someone like Giannis, who used to have Jrue Holiday fighting over screens when he was playing in a drop coverage, or Brook Lopez in that position.
Yeah.
Similarly, yeah. So it can't
look
all be attributed to just Wemby, but I see what you're saying.
Greg Popovich, listen, here's the thing. A lot of times when you have young players, this is one thing I never, ever forget. And this is one of my reasons for working out every day. You know, my wife, she goes, why do you have to work out every day? Well, because you can't ever forget how hard it is to go there and have the discipline to do it. You can't ever forget, Mo, how hard it is to get 20 minutes on the treadmill.
I know how hard that is.
You can't. And I work out every day because I want to remind myself how hard it is that those kids are actually working. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to play in an NBA game. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's very hard. And my point being is Greg Popovich, he has an opportunity this year. This probably will be the only year for a long time that they'll actually be able to have a kid like Wembanyama and not be playing for something.
Yeah.
Because he's, in my opinion, he's sped up the process. This isn't a 3-year process now. Next year, he's going to play and demand that they're starting to play for something, just like you're seeing the Houston Rockets right now.
Yeah, I would be fascinated to have seen this season, if he didn't have his minutes restricted, how many more wins they would actually have.
Well, what we can see with him, Mo, is that physically he's not ready for that yet. Okay. And the point I was trying to make here is the following. We don't hear people talk about this anymore is because now there was a reason that rookies didn't play in this league, Mo. When I came into this league, there was a reason that there was a transition, because there used to be a thing, and it's a real thing. Wembanyama, in my opinion, just watching him, he's hit the rookie wall now.
I mean, it's still pretty impressive if he's putting up these stat lines and hitting the rookie wall. Like, okay.
Okay. You always, it used to be, but now guys are just, you know, it's just a different time. The rookie wall is a real thing. And you can't forget that he is a big man. And for him to get that body, like I watched him when he played out here in LA. If you want to see something impressive, get there early, ladies and gentlemen, and just watch his workouts before the game.
Mm-hmm.
How he moves that body at that size, that's one of the most impressive things I've seen. Because that's a big man. He's not like a little guard, like somebody like my size, 6 feet, 6'1", or whatever, and moving around. He's 7'5". He's sliding. He's playing against guys way much bigger, stronger than him right now. He's helping and recovering. He's playing baseline to baseline. Okay. All right. That's harder to do, Mo.
Saying rookie wall, like Houston wasn't the best game. He had 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 blocks. Before that, he had 31, 12, six assists, six blocks. Before that, he had 28 points, 13 rebounds, seven assists, and five blocks. Before that, he had 17 points, 13 rebounds, five assists, and four blocks. Before that, he had 22 points, 10 rebounds, two assists, and five blocks. Like, the guys, I don't see the rookie wall because he's still producing at the same level. His production has not fallen off compared to what he's doing. If anything, he's producing at a better rate now than he was earlier in the season.
I would hope that he's performing better because he has more experience.
Yeah, so he hasn't hit the rookie wall then.
Okay. At the beginning of your rookie year, you have just pure lack of experience. He's never played in an NBA game. He never saw the physicality. He never played in those arenas. This is all a brand new experience. Why is he hitting the rookie wall now? You can look at him and tell, Mo, that he's playing emotionally now at a level. And when someone matches your intensity, either you meet that intensity or sometimes you just can't match the intensity of the game. There's one thing I can say about Wembanyama that has been impressive in his rookie year. The kid is a competitor. He's a competitor. And because I know he competes, I know how important that game was for him to play against Shingun. And he couldn't match the intensity of the game. I didn't say he didn't try his best. He couldn't match the intensity of the game. Everybody has been in a situation where you say, oh, wow, this guy got the best of me that night or whatever. When he played against Chet Holmgren, he matched the intensity of the game.
He did. But to be fair to him against Houston, he was questionable before the start of the game with a shoulder issue, I believe. So,
yes. When you show up, you show up. If you can't play, don't play. Don't play. If you can't play, don't play.
But he is a competitor, like we said, so he wants to play any opportunity given.
That's why I respect it. I respect that. Now, what I will be looking for is – I want to see the next time they play against each other because he is a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when he plays against Chet Holmgren, Chet raises his intensity and Wembanyama raises his intensity. Very rarely have I seen this kid not match the intensity of the game. So that lets me know that, wow, maybe whatever was going on, which I don't know, maybe there was something going on prior to the game. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm just watching the game. He is a rookie, and you do hit these walls. Like, it may be one game, it may be two games, but very rarely should we see a guy dominate him.
Yeah, well, he's actually listed as out now, so we'll see when he gets back on the court, if he bounces back or whatever. It is a tough matchup. Houston, I think he scored 15 points against them twice, 10 points in their last matchup, and did he have one where he scored 20? But it seems like Shengun has that experience, and obviously he's used to playing in the NBA now for 3 years, but he played professionally before that in Turkish league.
And you got to let these guys figure it out. Now, Wembanyama is, besides being a great talent, you can tell that the kid loves to compete, and you can tell that he's taking in all this information and his knowledge. Now, right now, it's good for him to see this brand of basketball. Why? It's because, yeah, he's blocked seven shots. However, if he's going to block seven shots and lose by the margin that they lost,
13.
It's unacceptable for him.
Mm.
For him.
Yeah.
Okay. Not for instance, if somebody had seven block shots, you would go, wow, this guy is incredible. But for him,
he does. That's why he's had 10 blocks in the game before. So
that's what I'm saying. But for him, because he's an impactful player, he doesn't just give you empty stats. So I like the fact that he has things to work on and he can see different brands of basketball. And again, Udoka, I'm sure, because you can tell the way they were playing and that they were attacking the rim. They were attacking Wembanyama.
Purposefully.
Dylan Brooks
did a great job of guarding him, being a pest off the ball, stopping him from getting the ball where he wants. You know, I think that as a team, they played that game very well.
Yeah. So, you can, which is great. I mean, listen, it's all a learning process. Good for him. But I'm going to be fascinated to watch that matchup because I think that's going to be a good matchup down there in Texas.
10, 15 years of that to come. So get your popcorn, my brother. That's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast from. BJ and I will be back tomorrow. Or will we? Tomorrow's Saturday. So no, yeah. We'll be back on Monday. But before that, you can catch us on Playback on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks and the LA Clippers face off, and we will be providing an alternate stream. If you're in the Discord, I'll put the details in there. If you follow us on social media, I'll put the details there. All you got to do, download the Playback app or go on the Playback website, link your League Pass to your Playback account, and you can watch the game with us. If you don't have League Pass, that's okay. You will see a scoreboard instead, and you'll see us and you'll hear us, and then you can have the game on TV or however you want to do it. But we'll be doing that watch along on Sunday, Clippers versus Bucks. So until next time, you guys know the vibes. Get buckets.